515 on RadioRT.ie. Now, our relationship experts are back. Alison Keating, psychologist, and Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst. They're on the line. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. Hello, Alison.
Hey, guys. How are you?
The sooner you're back in, the longer you'll get.
We'll be in next month.
We'll be squatting.
Yeah, but that's the way it happens, you know, when you're not sitting in front of me. Okay. We'll get to one anyway, and it's an interesting one, and it's about running, but I'm sure it could be sort of applied to a lot of people's hobbies. So when people hear it, they'll know what I'm talking about. So here goes. Heard you again mention the advantages of running, and yes, I enjoy same to a very small degree, as I am now 67 years old. However, my husband of 37 years is an utter addict and compulsive. It's the only thing that he gets up for each day. He would walk over me for running. He owns the bathroom most of the day, as after running, eating and sitting on the loo and staring at the TV, it's all that really interests him. He has led a life of utter selfishness. He has all the signs of addiction, denial. He runs even when injured. He is just in now, having been running and stretching for over 2 hours. This has gone on all during our 37 years of marriage. However, he has never put anything into the marriage. He portrays himself as a first communicant to the outside world, so sweet and angelic. I literally live with a monster. E.g. going to the hot press, dripping sweat after 2 hours fast running, leaving a bucket or two of filthy, smelly gear in the bathroom, and me having to go and use same. Spitting into the hand basin, have photo to show, leaving food everywhere around the kitchen. Please read this out, as his addiction and compulsive behaviour are telltales of ruining my life. I'm writing this in a hurry this morning, as I really would appreciate it if you would read it out today. He's ruining my life. So when I said that it could apply to other things, it may not be running, it could be cycling, or it could be something else. It could be, you know, and it may not be the men, it could be the women. So Ray, what do you have to say to this woman?
I guess what I'm struck by is her, my God, is she angry?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much anger. And I think that's one of the things, as we come to this kind of COVID lockdown being eased, is a lot of people will have the freedom to feel a lot of anger that they'd had to pent up the last couple of weeks, months, and indeed for this person, it seems like after 37 years. The most important thing is, I don't think her husband is going to hear her anger, is to talk to someone who will help filter out what she's really angry about, so that when she does go to talk to him, she isn't ranting at him.
Yeah. So to take the sting out of her criticism of him.
Absolutely. Because again, from his point of view, you know, like, again, in terms of addictions, you'd imagine running, you know, is on the more pleasant scale than something like alcoholism or drug use or sex abuse or any of those other things that could be there. But it's affecting their relationship because he's not with her. He literally has been running from her for 37 years, she feels.
Yeah. Well, Alison.
I'm very much in agreement with Ray, and I have this kind of image of him running from the marriage. But as Ray said, she's so angry. And, you know, if in marriages, you know, and they're married 37 years, it's only natural that anger and resentment build up. But we just have to see it as an opportunity to kind of figure out these very strong feelings and emotions, that they are an opportunity that she can work through. Firstly, in therapy, what this actually means, so she can process those emotions so that when she brings it back to him, that he can hear. Because as Ray said, if she just goes in, and we have a saying, you know, what's hysterical is historical. So basically, if she goes in ranting and raving, he'll just shut down. He won't actually hear it, and he'll probably go for another run. I also hear a lot of disgust. Like, there's a high level
of
disgust.
Yes, the spitting and the sweaty gear.
She really, like, it's quite worrying, the level of contempt, and you know, you can be angry and resentful, but I'm wondering, has she brought this to him? She probably has, and maybe in that kind of what's historical is hysterical, you know, that she said it so much that he doesn't hear it anymore. So, I mean, maybe if they would be open to working through this with a couple's, you know, therapist afterwards, but there's a lot and years of emotions that need to be processed and work through. But there is an opportunity in that. She's lonely and she's angry. She feels that he's chosen the running over her. So I hear a woman who's angry and upset, who feels abandoned. But it's about how to bring those criticisms in a way that actually something can be done about it, that it's non-defensive listening, that it can actually lead to a connection. Possibly.
And the running and the relationship can coexist.
Exactly.
You know, he's not running all day, every day. He runs and stretches for over 2 hours, which there's still a lot of time left in the day.
I think one of the things with anyone that's dealing with addiction, and this is one of the most difficult things to talk about, is the person who has consciously or unconsciously supported that addiction. And so we talk about codependency.
Yeah.
And so Alison's spot on. There's something ugly when she's taking photographs of the hand basin as some kind of evidence. That's not the woman that she wants to be.
Yeah.
And it's the same. She wants very much for her pain to be heard, you know, in terms of it being read out, because she doesn't feel like she's been listened to. So it's to take that to the next step, to go and speak to someone who can actually help her, and then possibly go together. And then to take it from there.
He portrays himself as a first communicant to the outside world, so sweet and angelic.
Very common.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of her anger, that's why it's so important that we talk about this one now, has gone unheard of.
Mm.
Yeah.
And she's just like, would someone please see what's going on for me?
So your suggestion is that she goes and seeks counselling herself first. Because she doesn't want to be hysterical when she approaches her husband about his addiction as she sees it and how it's ruining her life. And then maybe they might go to counselling together. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for her own health as well, that she has a space where she can communicate and process in a safe way, you know, all the feelings that have come up. And unfortunately, they've built up over time. So it's kind of to unpack those different emotions and work through them.
Right. So the next time we speak, you'll be in front of me.
We will.
Okay.
No running anymore.
No, we'll run into you.
Great. So Ray O'Neill and Alison Keating, thanks so much for talking to us today. Thank you.
Cheers, Ray.
Thanks for your advice.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.